I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the City Farm in San Luis Obispo. It's at the end of a dirt road and you have to seek it out. And we're here with Kyla Rutland, and you are manager?
Yeah, I'm the executive director here at City Farm Slow.
That's really cool. How did you get here? With part of the birthing process?
I wish I was. City Farm has been here since 2013, and I've been involved for 5 years. I moved to San Luis Obispo 5 years ago, and I actually found City Farm before I moved here.
Oh,
I was
wow.
looking for ways to be involved in an agricultural volunteer position when I moved to the area. So I found them and reached out, and as soon as I landed here in SLO, became a volunteer, and then shortly thereafter, maybe a year in, I became involved as a board member. 3 years later, we were finally in a position to hire some full-time staff, so that's when I came on in my role as director.
Backing up in time, before you came here, you were in Connecticut?
Yeah.
You were at the University of Connecticut?
That's where I went to school,
okay.
Yeah. I didn't move here until several years after that, but...
When you were in school in Connecticut, what did you think you were going to do? Were you an ag major?
No, I actually studied nutrition, but I was always kind of more interested in what happened to food before it got to our plates.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived on our school's organic farm, and I was one of the student farmers and just always really interested. My school schedule or my class schedule allowed a lot of flexibility, so I got to take really cool classes like vegetable production, soil science.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had an interest in these topics.
And it must be fascinating to you, the different environmental conditions. Like Connecticut, you would have a much shorter, tighter, but more intensive growing season.
Totally.
Talk to us about that for a moment and then contrasting to here.
Yeah, it was shocking when I moved here. I remember when I first got to SLO, I actually lived in Squire Canyon, which is like a beautiful little part of the county. And we had perennial tomatoes, which blew my mind.
January tomatoes.
Yeah, they would just grow, and we never got frost there, so they just grew year after year, the same plant.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really new to me, and of course, there's different challenges as well, like having to water your garden, which I never really did back east. But
you had the summer thunderstorms and throughout
and
the year.
Really fertile soils, mm-hmm. which we don't have quite as fertile soils here. So different challenges,
mm-hmm.
but different opportunities as well.
Yeah. So tell us about the SLO farm here in San Luis.
Yeah. So City Farm SLO, we are on 19 acres of land that's leased from the city of San Luis Obispo. We're a nonprofit urban farm. And so of our 19 acres, approximately 15 acres are subleased out to independent small-scale organic farmers. And so part of what our organization does is enable sustainable crop production by those farmers through affordable land leases.
So without you guys, they might want to do something, but it's a deal breaker to find that ag land that's affordable or available.
Totally. There's a lot of barriers that small-scale farmers face, especially in California. And one of those huge barriers is accessing land. Another barrier is reliable water. So on this parcel of land, which is the part of the Calle Joaquin Ag Reserve, we do have access to water, which is really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that we're able to provide. Something that City Farm SLO as an organization did when we first formed was install a state-of-the-art irrigation system on this parcel of land.
So and you're coming from wells or...
A well is on the property, yeah.
Nice.
And then we do also provide some supportive services to our farmers, and that's an area where, as an organization, we hope to build out those supportive services into the future.
And the services would include tech support and kind of intellectual, philosophical approach?
Yeah. So when I say supportive services, I mean things that help farmers get into market or to address market barriers.
Uh-huh.
So
give us
things
some,
like technical assistance.
Give us some specific real-time examples of what you might do or have done.
So it can be really challenging for a farmer, for example, to have the inventory to access certain markets. So because we grow on small scale, we might not have enough lettuce, for example, to fill a whole order for a school district. But by pooling all of our inventories of our small farmers together, we could then fill those orders. So as an organization, we seek to pull our farmers' resources together as a collaborative. And so that's a direction we're headed in the future.
So communication is primary.
Yeah.
Critical.
Yeah, for sure. And that's just one small piece of our organization is the services that we offer to our tenant farmers. The real core function of our organization is in our youth education programs.
So bringing school groups out?
Yeah, we do have partnerships with schools. And then we also have a pretty robust education program that operates outside of schools as well. And that's our youth empowerment program that's offered to teens.
And this is elementary school, junior high, and high school?
Yeah, uh-huh. All of the above.
Have you observed any epiphanous, life-changing moments among the kids coming out here?
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in our programs where we're able to have students returning session after session for months at a time. For example, in our partnership program with Pacific Beach High School, mm-hmm. those students are with us for at least 10 weeks at a time.
Oh, wow.
And when we have them on day one, they might like really turn their nose up at an eggplant, for example, or kale. But by the end of 10 weeks, when they're really involved in growing and then harvesting and then cooking mm-hmm. what they're growing out here, they're all about it by the end of those 10 weeks.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever have some of the kids come back that followed a career path because of this?
So a career path, that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've been with the organization long enough to mm-hmm. see that long-term trajectory, but I think we're headed in that direction uh-huh. for sure. We've definitely have had students that have been in our elementary programs that have then gone on to our teen programs, and I've seen them be inspired by what they're learning, and they definitely have interest in exploring careers in agriculture.
And do you partner with Cal Poly Ag Department and have the professors come out here?
Yeah, we do. We actually have a really robust internship program, and a lot of students come from Cal Poly who are pursuing degrees in some agriculture-related fields. Mm-hmm. So, we're really proud of those connections that we do have with Cal Poly. Our Youth Empowerment Program students go on field trips to Cal Poly, and that's how they get to kind of explore different career options in agriculture as well.
Cool. And back to the kids that come here. What do they do hands-on while they're here?
Yeah, so we have a farm field trip program that's offered to kids who are in kindergarten through sixth grade. They're here for 2 hours at a time with their whole classroom, and they rotate around. So depending on what grade level they're in, they're exploring different topics, but it could be pollination or soil science or parts of a plant, and they're rotating around the farm doing super hands-on activities under those different topics. They might be dissecting a flower or doing scavenger hunts for different pests or beneficial insects and then identifying those insects. And it's really cool how much they're able to apply the concepts that they're learning in the classroom in a super tangible, hands-on way, and then connecting that to how their food grows mm-hmm. and learning about where their food comes from. It's shocking how I used to work occasionally in classrooms teaching nutrition to students, and it was really hard to get kids to eat things like rock hail, for example. But when they're here on the farm and they see it growing, every single student will try a piece of raw kale, and then they'll want seconds.
It's oh, like, interesting.
I wish I could show their parents when they're here, like how they're all saying, yes, please, we want seconds on raw kale. I'm like, really? Okay.
Converts.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh,
it's great.
It. Yeah.
And then I think they take that home with them, and then they, when they're shopping with their parents, they're like, oh, I know what that is, and I've had it, and I like it, and I'll try it again.
So back to your roots of your mission, your passion, what food is all about for you has to do with healthy eating, organic, good for you. So how do you teach about how to grow healthy food product without having to rely on pesticides, etc.? You talked about beneficial insects.
Sure. Yeah. That really gets to our whole farming philosophy. We practice regenerative agriculture here at City Farm Slow. That's an umbrella term that encompasses a lot of different practices, but the ultimate goal is to restore or improve the health of our soils over time, rather than just sustain the health of the soil or degrade it, as in the case of some forms of agriculture.
Does that include crop rotation and letting the land in a certain area stay fallow for a while?
We seek not to let the land stay fallow, but rather use things like cover crops,
right? So
to keep living roots in the soil.
So nitrogen fixing plants, legumes, and
yeah. We don't till. We're on a no-till system, so that allows us to capture carbon from the atmosphere and use our farm as a carbon sink and not disturb the microbes and the things living in the soil that are sequestering that carbon. And we use heavy applications of compost, both compost that we make here on the farm.
Compost teas?
Yeah, that's a strategy. We usually just dunk our starts in compost that isn't a true tea, but right. A lot of people make compost teas for sure. Mm-hmm. So we use heavy compost applications. We integrate animals into our systems.
Oh, how?
We have a small herd of sheep that are rotationally grazed.
Oh, so they're your little crop trimmers.
Totally. Yeah. They eat down our cover crop, and they're on rotating paddocks for 3 to 4 days at a time, so that as they eat down the cover crop, they're fertilizing as they move along. And then we have a mobile chicken tractor that follows the sheep as well. So in addition to providing us with eggs, they also are eating the cover crop. They're fertilizing the soil and, again, just adding into that healthy soil system and promoting a healthy pasture.
That's really cool. Any other animals helping out here?
Outside of those two, we just have the animals of nature that are here. So lots of birds and mammals and insects.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about beneficial insects.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool.
There's a lot of things that we're doing as a part of our regenerative practices to use insects to our advantage rather than totally excluding them like in a conventional system. So we plant a lot of flowers. If you look around the farm, you'll see lots of rows of flowers. And although we're not growing them as a crop that we're harvesting, those bring in pollinators, and then they also bring in insects to balance the population of pest insects that would be eating our crops.
Do you ever bring in ladybugs?
We have tons of ladybugs.
Oh,
we don't buy them like some people do. We advise against that.
Oh, really? Interesting. Why not?
A lot of times if you buy ladybugs, they won't be native to your area, and then they'll just fly away.
You're right.
So it's kind of a loss on your investment.
Yeah.
But if you create an environment for them...
How do you attract ladybugs?
With planting different plants that they are attracted to, like creating an environment that...
One example of the type of plant they like or attracted
to. Oh, gosh, we need our farm manager for that. But they do, their larva eats aphids. So if you have a small population of aphids, that's one way to attract them. Of course, then aphids are something you don't want. So
yeah,
everything balances. Yeah.
That's really cool. So is the farm open to the public? Do you have... like a retail operation at all here?
We do sell our produce, but we do that online. Harvestly is how we sell it.
It's one more time?
Harvestly.co. They're awesome.
Spell it.
Harvestly, so harvestly.co. Like an online farmer's market. They're a really awesome business. You can basically do all of your shopping like you would at a farmer's market, all Slo County stuff, and then it's delivered to your house for $5. So we love selling on there.
Can you pick it up?
You can also pick it up.
Here?
Yeah. Not here, from their distribution center. And then we are not open to the public. I'd love to include a little bit about just like our mission really is providing access to all students. And like we talked about healthy foods and wanting kids to be able to connect with healthy foods. But my goal, and I think really our organization's mission, is to extend that to all students. Mm-hmm. And although we're an agriculturally rich area, so many students have never been to a farm or had the privilege to see where their food comes from or even have access to really good foods, even though it's all grown here. And so we're trying to extend that access to all students, no matter their background or income level or situation.
And how do you make them aware that you exist?
Primarily through schools, mm-hmm. but then we do a variety of, or we have a variety of outreach strategies for our different programs. So social media and connecting with different media outlets.
What school districts do you work with?
Our field trip programs are open to any of the school districts, public and private, in the county. And then we have a closer partnership with San Luis Coastal Unified School District because that's how we offer our farm class and then our therapeutic horticulture program.
Haven't figured out we're on the flight path of San Luis Obispo Airport landing. Keeps you entertained.
Yeah, it's a nice pause to all of our conversations.
Okay, well, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct them?
Yeah, to our website. So that's cityfarmslo.org, cityfarmslo.org. They can sign up for our newsletter there. That's a really good way to stay in the loop about what we're doing. You can also sign up to volunteer there. And then our Instagram is a really good way to just see daily updates about what's going on the farm, and that's at City Farm Slow.
And then you had the .co website for ordering food online. One more time.
Harvestly.co. And my name is Kayla Rutland, and I'm the executive director here at City Farm Slow.
Kayla, thank you so much. What a wonderful morning in paradise.
Yeah, it's a little slice of heaven here.
Yeah, it is.
Hidden in plain sight. Yeah. But thanks so much for coming. It was great to talk to you.
You're welcome. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Slow City Farm, hidden away right in the heart of San Luis Obispo.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.